My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Jumping on with us right now is our good friend Chase Hughes. Chase, of course, covers the Wizards for Monumental Sports. You can follow Chase on X on Twitter, at Chase DC Sports. We'll get into the Wizards and the draft. The draft actually is next Wednesday and Thursday. They've broken it up into two nights. Wednesday night will be the first round, and that much-anticipated second round of the NBA draft will have its own night on Thursday night. But I wanted to start with this, Chase. What do you, with the NBA Finals now in the rear view from this past playoff season, what do you make of the state of the NBA where, you know, this was a league that for the better part of like 6 to 7 decades, you know, it was a lot of the same. It was a league of runs. There were so many dynasties. There were mini dynasties. I mean, basically 60 plus years of, you know, runs of the same teams, you know, the Celtics, the Lakers, the Pistons, the Bulls, the Spurs, etc. The Warriors. Something is different now. Over the last 6 seasons, 6 different champions. It's never happened in the history of the league. The longest run of unique champions ever. But beyond that, we have not had a team in the last 5 seasons even go back to the finals after being in the finals the year before. Why do you think the league has become so much more unpredictable?
Well, I think it's been an effort from the top down. I think Commissioner Adam Silver has wanted to see more parity, and they have achieved that. I think with minor tweaks to the league rules and the new CBA that went into effect last summer, I think is going to bring more of that, where it's going to be really hard to retain your own players or to create super teams where you have several guys on supermax contracts. So, like, I've kind of been clamoring for it for a long time because I feel like the NBA was missing, and maybe it still is to a degree, what you see, especially in the NFL, but also I think to a certain degree in baseball and hockey, where, you know, most teams and most fan bases can feel like, okay, this could be our year. In the NBA, it's always felt like there's only three or four teams that really have a chance to win a title. And I thought it was really cool, at least going into the conference finals this year, how you had these four teams and you knew that either Luka or Tatum or Anthony Edwards or one of these guys was going to get their first ring. The conference finals and beyond didn't end up being that great. The conference finals weren't great. The finals weren't great, but just the idea of not knowing who's going to win, I find exciting because I wasn't a huge fan of when, you know, Kevin Durant joined the Warriors and it seemed like a predetermined conclusion before you even go into the season that you knew who was going to win.
See, I'm with you, but I don't think we are in the majority here. I think that the NBA, look, who's to argue with the NBA? They're about to sign a $7 billion television deal, you know, with all of their deals, which is basically, you know, $3 to $4 million than what was projected a year ago. I mean, they're about to absolutely kill it. But I think for casual sports fans, the superstar elite team is necessary in this sport. So I don't know that it is good for the sport, even though I think it's something more appealing for hardcore people like you and me. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, the one metric I could point to that would back that statement up is NBA Finals ratings. If you look at them over time, they have not really recovered from the late 90s when Jordan was toward the tail end of his career. Many more people watch the NBA Finals then than they do now. And they really spiked when Kevin Durant was on the Warriors and they were going up against LeBron. And even though it almost didn't even feel fair that the Warriors had Kevin Durant, people tuned in and watched. Now, I don't know if that is the only number you should point to, because obviously regular season ratings and the ratings of other playoff series would have to factor in. But I have taken note of that over the years, that it does seem like the general public likes the super team and either watching to see greatness or watching to root against them.
Yeah, I think actually in many ways it appeals to all sports, or applies, excuse me, to all sports. I think to attract the casual fan, you have to have a major superstar, you know, or an elite marquee franchise, you know, borderline dynasty. I mean, look, the bottom line is no league is built for parity more than the NFL, but it has had the most dominant of dynasties most recently when the leagues tried hardest to create parity, and that was the Patriots of, you know, basically a 20-year period. We are talking to Chase Hughes. Are you one of those that think that this Boston team that we just watched is an all-time great team?
I mean, I think they're probably in like the second or third tier of all-time great teams. I think they're probably the best team that we've seen since the Kevin Durant and Steph Curry Warriors. But, you know, you can look back and find teams that were even more dominant going through the playoffs. The Celtics, I think, were 16-3 throughout their playoff run and obviously had a great point differential and all that, and won 64 games in the regular season. But, you know, look at like the 2001 Lakers, who I think only lost one game.
15-1, I think. 16-1, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there is a level of NBA dominance that isn't even fun to watch. Like, I respect the Shaq-led Lakers more in hindsight, but it wasn't all that fun to watch in the moment where the Lakers would just throw the ball into Shaq in the post and he would just annihilate anyone who guarded him. And the same thing could be said about, you know, when Kevin Durant was on the Warriors and they just had so much talent, no one could really compete. Like there are tiers to this. And I don't think the Celtics reached the point where it's like, okay, this isn't even fun. This isn't even fair.
Yeah. I think they had a great season, and statistically, and, you know, there are a lot of numbers that would, you know, stack up there with some of the great teams of all time. I just didn't see it with my eyes. I thought they were very good. To your point, I think probably the best champion we've had since the 2017 Warriors. But the bottom line is their path to winning a title was as easy as it gets in the NBA. I mean, you know, even the NBA Finals opponent was a 5 seed with, you know, one player essentially with finals experience. Do you have an all-time best NBA team?
I would have to go with the Bulls. What was it?
96.
Yeah, the team.
72-win team.
The 72-win team. I know it has since been beaten, but obviously that Warriors team didn't didn't finish it off and win the final. So, I mean, that was the team that I was in my formative years when I watched, and Jordan and Pippen as a duo, I don't think that's been matched since. So that would be my pick. How about you?
I think the 86 Celtics are the best team, best overall team that I've ever watched, you know, in my lifetime. I mean, I can't go back to any of the Celtics, you know, 60s teams or even, you know, the Wilt-led Lakers teams or the, but for my lifetime, I think the 86 Celtics, they were so dominant. They were so great. They were so deep. Walton was, you know, sixth man of the year. It was, you know, Bird and McHale and Parrish and DJ and Danny Ainge, in terms of like just everybody being capable of passing, scoring, you know, and I think their overall win percentage is like top three or four. They get debated. The team that followed it, the 87 Lakers, who then beat that Celtics team the following year in six games with Magic, Kareem, Worthy, Byron Scott, you know, Michael Cooper, A.C. Green, who am I forgetting? That team was unbelievable, too. I think both of those teams, for me, are probably the best. The 2017 Warriors, though, my God, it was almost unfair. Mm-hmm. Do you think Boston kind of breaks this string and repeats next year?
Ooh, I think they've got a good shot because the Western Conference is such a gauntlet that, you know, it's just much easier to get through the East. All the best young players are in the West. Wembanyama and Anthony Edwards and Luka and SGA, like the West could be even better next year. So I see the East as still being a fairly manageable path to get through. And I don't think Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown have peaked yet. As long as they're healthy and they've got so much depth, I see them getting out of the Eastern Conference again and having a real, really good chance of repeating as champions. But as you mentioned, six straight, you know, new champions. It's going to be tough to break that streak, but this is the best team that we've seen since the Kevin Durant Warriors, so I like their chances.
All right, we're going to get to the NBA draft with Chase here in a moment and the plan for the Wizards, or what Chase hopes the plan is. But your reaction to J.J. Redick being hired as the new head coach in L.A.?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right?
I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
It's been amazing just to look back at how things have developed with him doing a podcast with LeBron and, you know, how is that going to work moving forward? I do think he is obviously a really smart basketball mind. I think it's a little bit risky to hire a first-time head coach, but, you know, he does seem to have the traits that you would look for in a head coach. And, you know, regardless of what has been reported about LeBron's involvement, I would have to imagine he's approved of this hire, given
of course
his podcast partner. You know, so we'll see. I don't know if a coach is going to put the Lakers over the top and make them championship contenders again. I think they need a lot more help than that on their roster. But I would imagine it would have taken very few jobs would have pushed JJ Redick out of the finals booth. He had a really good situation, a really good setup in terms of media. But, you know, some of these guys, they can't get away from just being in a locker room and the competitive juices that come out when they're, you know, competing against teams and being part of a team. So I would imagine that's part of it, but we'll see how he explains it during his press conference.
Did you think he was good as a game analyst? Did you like that new, you know, Breen, Doris Burke, JJ Redick combo?
I thought he was pretty good. I mean, he's got the look, he's got the voice. He was pretty concise with what he said. I thought, you know, he was pretty smooth. For a guy doing his first finals, I was impressed. Obviously, Mike Breen does a great job of, you know, maintaining chemistry between whoever he's doing it with. I like the Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson duo. So that was a pretty high bar for them to reach. But you could see the potential with J.J. Redick. And, yeah, I mean, I definitely thought he was a good broadcaster.
Who will they replace him with next year?
Oh, that's a great question. You know, the first person that came to mind, I guess it's just because their star is burning bright right now, is Monica McNutt, who I used to work with, and I'm just amazed at her rise going on The Daily Show like a week ago, and obviously is a very fast rising star. I wouldn't be surprised if she called a final someday. I don't know if, you know, her, Mike Breen, and Doris Burke would be the perfect combination, but I'd have to imagine that ESPN will at least consider her. But, you know, you probably got to go with an ex-player in that role. So, man, I don't know. Maybe Richard Jefferson or someone who's a little bit further down their depth chart.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think Monica McNutt does a really good job. You know, she's a local too, and I would root for that. I just don't see it being two women in the number one booth in the NBA. I think you've gotta. They would feel like they have to have an ex-player there. I actually think, or coach, I actually think Stan Van Gundy is actually a very good analyst on games. And the guy that I would advocate, but for some reason they don't see him this way, Legler would be fantastic. But, you know, he, you know, barely gets games. Hopefully he will next year. All right, we move to some draft conversation. So, you know, we've talked about this, and we talked about it maybe a month ago, but now here we are on the precipice of the NBA draft, and the Wizards have the number two pick overall. They also have a late first-round pick, for those of you that didn't know. They have two first-round picks. But, you know, in a draft where there's no obvious number one, there's no Victor Wembanyama, there's no Zion Williamson, at least based on what we, you know, the experts think going into this thing, what do you think their strategy is? What do you think they hope happens at number one and what they're left with at number two?
Well, obviously they're in a good spot picking second overall. No matter the draft class, you want to pick very high. And, you know, based on what they've said over the past year and what we saw in their selection with Bilal Coulibaly. I think positional size and defense are going to be two things that they're going to favor. And they're going to have some options in that regard, because whether it's Zachary Risacher or Alex Saar or somebody else is the number one pick, you know, whoever's left from that group is going to be very big for their position and, you know, bring defense to the table. I think that's one thing that stands out to me about the top 10 in this draft and the guys that are in the conversation for the second overall pick with the Wizards is that a lot of them are defense first. And, you know, I think that's good if you're trying to improve your defense like the Wizards are. I think usually when there's a guy who's defense first and they're raw offensively, it's just really hard to project what they're going to be over time on that end of the floor. You know, you see guys that just never figure it out offensively. And then the ones that do end up being, you know, Jaylen Brown and Jimmy Butler and Paul George and Pascal Siakam and players like that. So right now it looks like Zachary Risacher is probably the favorite to go number one to the Atlanta Hawks. And if that is the case, then I'm sure the Wizards would like a lot about Alex Saar, who's a 7-1 center, who's agile, who looks like he has the chance to be an elite rim protector and also present plenty of offensive upside.
Tell us about Alex Saar's game, first of all. And do you have a current NBA comp for him?
Well, the first thing that stands out is just how big and athletic he is. He's 7'1" and has a 38-inch vertical leap, which is very, very rare for a guy that size. You know, I've been making this comparison throughout the process that he's both taller and can jump higher than Dwight Howard. And anyone who's seen Dwight Howard dunk knows that that's really saying something. But he's pretty agile. He's shown some pretty good feel off the dribble and with his outside shooting. He shot pretty well at the combine. He's also a pretty decent passer. So he's a raw offensive talent, but I think the ceiling is very high. If you feel confident in your player development program, then he's the one guy in this draft that I think just, you know, stands out right away in terms of prototypical size and athleticism. And a comp for me, I think, would be Evan Mobley Jr. of the Cleveland Cavaliers. They're about the same size. Defense is their calling card, but I think like Evan Mobley Jr., Alex Saar could continue to add to his offensive game in the years to come.
Is that what you hope happens? Do you hope Risacher goes 1 to Atlanta and that Saar's there for the Wizards at 2?
I've liked Risacher the most of any player throughout the whole process. You know, he's the first guy that stood out to me. I always kind of like look at the mock drafts early in the season and then watch the film and try to see just who stands out right away. And he was the first guy where I was like, okay, this guy looks like a top draft pick, no matter what the draft class, because of his size, his speed, his shooting ability. I love defense. But if he's the number one pick, I mean, Alex Saar is so big and so athletic and has shown enough skill that he's just not going to fall very far in the draft. Like, those guys don't come around that often. Obviously, yeah, you're going to have to teach him a lot of things about the game of basketball, but he has been a pro for a couple of years, and you could tell interacting with him at the combine that he's very mature and very professional. So the Wizards are one of those teams that they got a lot of confidence in their player development program, which they're putting together a staff right now, but the guys that have come from Oklahoma City, they really know what they're doing in that regard and feel like they can get the best out of players. So I would not be surprised at all if they pick Saar and feel really good about his future.
I mean, I was thinking, and just recently I ended up watching a bunch of the highlights. Like, I was actually thinking in watching Saar, like, he could be next year Derek Lively, what Lively was to the Mavericks. Do you see that comparison at all?
Yeah, I think if he's got the motor that Derek Lively has.
Yeah, you know, true.
Yeah, that stood out to a lot of scouts when he was at Duke, you know, 2 years ago. And then, of course, you saw it in the NBA last season. That tends to be what separates the big men. Like, obviously, some guys can develop skills that others don't have offensively. But, you know, motor is really important. And that is something that the Wizards are going to have to evaluate with Alex Saar, his intangibles, and particularly his motor. Because, you know, I talk to NBA scouts a lot. I ask them all sorts of questions. And sometimes it's like, well, what happened to Mo Bamba? You know, what happened to James Wiseman? Why isn't DeAndre Ayton a superstar? And oftentimes it's, you know, that they don't have the motor, they don't have the feel for the game or the basketball IQ. So the intangibles are really, really important, and that's what they're going to be taking a close look at for Alex Saar and all the top prospects for that matter.
All right, if it's not, we're talking to Chase Hughes from Monumental. If it's not one of the two, Risacher or Saar, just give me, you know, your hunch on who it would be. Like, I really... I think Dillingham's going to be a big-time offensive player. I'm concerned a little bit about him defensively. Same with Dalton Kincaid. But is there anybody, you know, people have talked about Klingon, Castle. Is there anybody, if it's not those two, that you would lean, yeah, it would be because they fell in love with this guy?
I'm guessing it would be Stephon Castle because okay. He's got the positional size and the defense. I really, really like Reed Sheppard. I think he's going to be a top five pick. He plays defense. He's one of the best shooting prospects that has come out of the draft in a long time, but doesn't necessarily have the positional size, although I think he's about average size for a point guard. And then Cody Williams is someone that I just think it really fits what the Wizards are looking for. Like, his comp for me is Bilal Coulibaly.
Exactly.
The younger brother of Jalen Williams, who is a budding star, who, of course, you know, Will Dawkins was in Oklahoma City when they drafted him. And he's the, of all the wing prospects, he's got the best measurables with a 7'1 wingspan, and he's the most efficient. He shot 55% last year at Colorado from the field and 41% from three. So I think he's going to go higher than people expect. I just don't know if I could put him at number two, but if he went there, there's a lot of reasons why it would make sense.
Yeah, the Reed Sheppard thing, I just, the last impression was them getting beat in the first round by Oakland, and he was, I mean, to say the least, he was just out of it completely for whatever reason in that particular game. Real quickly, before I let you run, free agency follows the draft. Last year, obviously, it was active for the Wizards in terms of, you know, the Porzingis question, et cetera, the Kuzma signing. What's in line for the Wizards and the, you know, the early July timeframe free agency this go round?
Well, they don't have many impending free agents. They got to make a decision on Tyus Jones. Anthony Gill is also a free agent. So, you know, Michael Winger at his end of season press conference kind of previewed the offseason and said he doesn't expect the wholesale changes that we saw last year. Obviously, they had to move some huge organizational pieces around, as he called it, with Bradley Beal and Kristaps Porzingis. But, yeah, I really think what they do in free agency and you know, as it pertains to Tyus Jones in particular, it really depends on what they do with the second overall pick, because they're so early in their rebuild that whoever they take second overall, like that guy's future is going to be more important than just about anything. So they're going to clear the runway for that guy to play a lot of minutes, take a lot of shots, have a high usage rate. So whatever position they play, that decision is going to dictate a lot about the future of their plans at that position. If they pick a center like Alex Saar, then that's probably going to have some domino effects. Same thing if they pick a point guard. You know, we've talked about how good Jordan Poole looked at point guard down the stretch of last season. I think everything is TBD until we see what position they address at that spot, because maybe that guy doesn't start day one, but they're obviously going to be the starter for the future and probably by the end of their first season.
I mean, they signed Denny Avdija to the, you know, to the contract, you know, last year. Do you think, it seems to me that he's one of the names that just periodically pops up for other teams who are contenders and have needs. I think that they shouldn't even consider moving him. I think his upside is still high. I think all-star team high at some point. I don't know if you agree with me or not, but do you think he's safe to be a part of this roster when it is, you know, hopefully 2-3 years down the road, ready to win 40-something games?
I do. I mean, he's one of the youngest players on the team, and they just signed him to an extension, and he got better. And I think the reason why, you know, he's connected to other teams is because he's a good player, and he plays a team-oriented style of basketball. He defends. He can now shoot from the outside. He's a willing passer. He's got good size for his position. So he projects as a really good glue guy for a contender. So no wonder, you know, people would look around the league and say, oh, that guy could fit with X team or Y team. But he also fits with the Wizards in their future right now. And the fact that his contract, if he keeps getting better, could continue to look like a bargain, I'd be a little bit surprised if they moved off that anytime soon, unless they could maybe – you know, get a bunch of draft capital, because obviously that's something they're prioritizing right now.
Do you agree with me, or do you think that that's hyperbole, that he could be an all-star one day?
I'm not going to limit his ceiling. I think the gap between what he did on a team that won 15 games last year and becoming an all-star is still pretty wide. You know, you got to put those numbers up when there's a lot of better players on your team and you're not getting as many shots. But he keeps getting better, so I'm not going to put a cap on what he can be. So I would have to agree with you.
thanks for doing this, as always. Really appreciate it. Next week should be interesting. I mean, you know, number two pick in the draft, it would be great if there were like two transfer, you know, franchise-changing players at the top. There may be next year, but we've got plenty of time for that. Thanks, Chase. Appreciate it, as always.
Absolutely. Have a great weekend.
Doc Walker is going to jump on with us next. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980 and the Team980.com. Doc Walker will be on after this show, in for Chris Russell, 1 to 4 o'clock today. Doc joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. You know, the last time we talked, when I had you on my podcast, Doc's got a not only does he host a lot of the shows here, he's got an outstanding podcast, which you can get anywhere you get a podcast, but specifically at patreon.com/Doc Walker. And you can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Rick Doc Walker. But the last conversation we had, it was right after Bill Walton had passed away. And since then, Jerry West has passed away and Willie Mays has passed away. And most everybody listening knows that Doc grew up in Southern California, which is one of the reasons I wanted to hear him talk about Bill Walton, not to mention he's a UCLA alum like Walton was. But you're also a huge Lakers guy and a huge baseball guy. So tell me your memories about Jerry West, and then I want to hear what you thought about Willie Mays.
Thanks, Kevin. Glad that I could fill in again.
For my late scratch?
Yeah. It's really like your childhood and the stories that you tell, because you had access to RFK, and we had that one trip from the church. The church bus would take you up to see a game, a hoops game, or Maury Wills and the Dodgers. And Jerry West and the Lakers, I went through a lot of pain, but they were championship losses. He was made 9 finals. He won 1.
Yeah.
And my oldest is a Celtic guy, obviously, so he can torment me. And now he's a champion. But I take the sting away from him because I don't hate him. I love championship play. And if you do it the right way, I'll applaud you. So I'm not a hater. Enjoyed seeing the Celtics, although I don't necessarily know if they were challenged at all year. But nevertheless, they earned it. I give it to them. And the program that I grew up on is a train wreck. And I saw it from where Jack Kent Cook's ownership to the program elevating and being really ahead of the game with the Great Western Forum, the Forum Club, the Laker girls, just being on top of it economically and being a standard, to now it's a clown show. And so I feel like I've been cursed because I have a clown show in which I lived in, which has now been rectified. The Harris Group has cleaned this up. This nightmare that I've been going through the past decade appears now to be over. And now my childhood, I mean, now I'm being crushed there as the Beverly Hillbillies are running the Lakers. So
right.
I'm just stuck in
well,
it
we'll
right
get,
now.
We'll get to the hiring of J.J. Redick here in a moment. But I want to find out, those teams that had Wilt and Elgin Baylor and Jerry West, who was
9
your guy?
Finals.
Who was your guy?
Well, I mean, you follow the team. These new young kids.
So then tell me
people.
About your memories of Jerry West.
Teams. Man, Clutch. First of all, before nicknames were prominent, Clutch. And Baylor and these guys, man, Gail Goodrich. It goes on and on, man. It was just money. But they failed to finish. So you always knew he was great. And his intensity level, which you found even more as an executive. This guy was a lot like Arnold Red Auerbach to me, based on what Coach Thompson has shared with us. He was always in the gym. I'd see him at the men's gym at UCLA because where the best pickup games are is where you know, if you're a gym rat, that's where you congregate. You want to see good pickup games. He's always was there. I was able to have conversations with him at the men's gym about basketball and what he was watching. He was a scout. He was an eagle eye. Just like you could talk to Coach Wooden, they were approachable. It wasn't like they had guards around them. But these guys were into watching kids play basketball. And Jerry was just so aggressive. I love the fact that he was a badass, man. And to have a logo, to me, I think the great one has the greatest nickname of all time. When you can be noted as the great one, I mean, that's second to none. And when you have logo, I think it's just rare air. And I think it's all well-deserved. Taking these hits with him and Walton, you know, it's a lot. Because it's a lot of your childhood that you see. And they were so instrumental that, yeah, it's tough. But I want to celebrate their life rather than mourn their death.
You know how much I'm interested in your time growing up in Southern California, and I think a lot of the listeners love to hear about Doc's life. And I'll get to Willie Mays in a moment. I know your love of baseball, and I know that it was a big part of your life, and you know your family's involvement in it when you were a kid as well. What sport, when you were coming up, you were in, you know, grade school, middle school, high school, what sport and which of the LA teams was your favorite?
Dodgers.
The Dodgers baseball. Were.
Yeah, easy. As a matter of fact, since you love to make fun of me, today we're going to have Gary Templeton, three-time All-Star
with the
Cardinals.
He grew up in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, down the street. So this dude is from my neighborhood. I mean, he made it big. He's three-time All-Star, 16-year MLB. But his father coached the Dodgers, him and Jim Womack. So I played for his old man in Little League.
Wow.
And his old man, the significance of this, is one of the great players in the Negro League era who was denied access. He's from Texas. Yeah. So as we honor some of the great players of the past who now we're putting the spotlight on, Spivey Templeton made a big impact in my life. His father, Gary, played on the Braves. I played on the Dodgers. And to see a kid you couldn't strike out in Little League end up having that carry through all the way through the bigs, got 100 hits on each side as a switch hitter, and I honest to God, he had that at 11 and 12. And to see that carry out, he could have done anything he wanted to do, play safety, just a natural athlete, but could hit. And the thing that separates kids, and shout out to the D.C. Grays, doing a great job, Tom Lavera and company, is if you can't hit a curveball, you can't play. And I knew as being, you know, having a lot of success as a pitcher, couldn't strike him out. To see somebody be that good his whole life is amazing. And he's going to join us today. I'm in for the Rooster, as you mentioned. Thank you for that. You usually don't even acknowledge me.
So, that's whenever I know
gonna,
I do.
It's going to be okay. Gonna have some fun with that. Mm-hmm.
So I want to get to your thoughts on Willie Mays and if you think he's the greatest you ever saw in a moment. But you were, you know, obviously a standout high school football player. You were a standout track guy. Did you get D1 offers for baseball also?
No. I hurt my arm as a sophomore. So okay. I never played again as a – you know when they say kids don't – parents don't have your kids pitch and throw a lot of different pitches too young?
Yeah.
Yes, that probably. Yeah. You can't like throwing splitters, forks, drops, you know, three-quarter side, all that stuff. You can overdo it. And, again, my generation, we didn't have games. We were outside. So when you look at the amount of times you use your arm in my generation, and you were throwing bottle caps, I mean, we're playing, like, when I love hearing about Willie Mays playing stickball, going through New York, and everybody goes, wow, like that was a big, that's normal. I mean, you were playing with broomsticks.
Yeah.
You're playing with that. There was never a reason not to play. You just made up, use whatever resource you had. But the bottle cap thing, I know for a fact why guys in that era in the 60s had great vision like Gary. Because if you can hit a bottle cap, the baseball is like hitting a watermelon. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, so there was a lot of things with that. We had I tell my kids all the time, I wouldn't trade my childhood with them for all the money in the world.
Was Maury Wills your guy with the Dodgers?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And you know he's I know you know this, but for those that don't, he's a DC guy, went to Cardozo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And his brother, shout out to him. Yeah, all the Wills family, to see him, to actually watch him and Dusty. That's why I love Dusty so much, because as a kid, these guys were, I mean, Drysdale, Peranowski, all these guys.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Doc Walker will be on after this show, in for Chris Russell, 1 to 4 o'clock today. Doc joins us right now, courtesy of our BetQL guest hotline. You know, the last time we talked, when I had you on my podcast, Doc's got a not only does he host a lot of the shows here, he's got an outstanding podcast, which you can get anywhere you get a podcast, but specifically at patreon.com/Doc Walker. And you can follow him on X, on Twitter, at Rick Doc Walker. But the last conversation we had, it was right after Bill Walton had passed away. And since then, Jerry West has passed away and Willie Mays has passed away. And most everybody listening knows that Doc grew up in Southern California, which is one of the reasons I wanted to hear him talk about Bill Walton, not to mention he's a UCLA alum like Walton was. But you're also a huge Lakers guy and a huge baseball guy. So tell me your memories about Jerry West, and then I want to hear what you thought about Willie Mays.
Thanks, Kevin. Glad that I could fill in again.
For my late scratch?
Yeah. It's really like your childhood and the stories that you tell because you had access to RFK. And we had that one trip from the church. The church bus would take you up to see a game, a hoops game, or Maury Wills and the Dodgers. And Jerry West and the Lakers, I went through a lot of pain, but they were championship losses. He was made 9 finals. He won 1.
Yeah.
And my oldest is a Celtic guy, obviously, so he can torment me. And now he's a champion. But I take the sting away from him because I don't hate him. I love championship play. And if you do it the right way, I'll applaud you. So I'm not a hater. Enjoyed seeing the Celtics, although I don't necessarily know if they were challenged at all year. But nevertheless, they earned it. I give it to them. And the program that I grew up on is a train wreck. And I saw it from where Jack Kent Cook's ownership to the program elevating and being really ahead of the game with the Great Western Forum, the Forum Club, the Laker girls, just being on top of it economically and being a standard to now it's a clown show. And so I feel like I've been cursed because I have a clown show in which I lived in, which has now been rectified. The Harris Group has cleaned this up. This nightmare that I've been going through the past decade appears now to be over. And now my childhood, I mean, now I'm being crushed there as the Beverly Hillbillies are running the Lakers. So
right.
I'm just stuck in
well,
it
we'll
right
get,
now.
We'll get to the hiring of J.J. Redick here in a moment. But I want to find out, those teams that had Wilt and Elgin Baylor and Jerry West, who was
9
your guy?
Finals.
Who was your guy?
Well, I mean, you follow the team. These new young kids.
So then tell me
people.
About your memories of Jerry West.
Teams. Man, clutch. First of all, before nicknames were prominent, clutch. And Baylor and these guys, man, Gail Goodrich, it goes on and on, man. It was just money. But they failed to finish. So you always knew he was great. And his intensity level, which you found even more as an executive. This guy was a lot like Arnold Red Auerbach to me, based on what Coach Thompson has shared with us. He was always in the gym. I'd see him at the men's gym at UCLA because where the best pickup games are is where you know, if you're a gym rat, that's where you congregate. You want to see good pickup games. He's always was there. I was able to have conversations with him at the men's gym about basketball and what he was watching. He was a scout. He was an eagle eye. Just like you could talk to Coach Wooden, they were approachable. It wasn't like they had guards around them. But these guys were into watching kids play basketball. And Jerry was just so aggressive. I love the fact that he was a badass, man. And to have a logo, to me, I think the great one has the greatest nickname of all time when you can be noted as the great one. I mean, that's second to none. And when you have logo, I think it's just rare air. And I think it's all well deserved. Taking these hits with him and Walton, you know, it's a lot because it's a lot of your childhood that you see. And they were so instrumental that, yeah, it's tough. But I want to celebrate their life rather than mourn their death.
You know how much I'm interested in your time growing up in Southern California, and I think a lot of the listeners love to hear about Doc's life. And I'll get to Willie Mays in a moment. I know your love of baseball, and I know that it was a big part of your life and, you know, your family's involvement in it when you were a kid as well. What sport, when you were coming up, you were in, you know, grade school, middle school, high school, What sport and which of the LA teams was your favorite?
Dodgers.
The Dodgers were.
Yeah, easy. As a matter of fact, since you love to make fun of me, today we're going to have Gary Templeton, three-time All-Star Cardinals.
He grew up in your neighborhood.
Yeah, I mean, down the street. So this dude is from my neighborhood. I mean, he made it big. He's three-time All-Star, 16-year MLB. But his father coached the Dodgers, him and Jim Womack. So I played for his old man in Little League.
Wow.
And his old man, the significance of this, is one of the great players in the Negro League era who was denied access. He's from Texas. Yeah. So as we honor some of the great players of the past who now we're putting the spotlight on, Spivey Templeton made a big impact in my life. His father, Gary, played on the Braves. I played on the Dodgers. And to see a kid you couldn't strike out in Little League end up having that carry through all the way through the bigs, got 100 hits on each side as a switch hitter. And I, honest to God, he had that at 11 and 12. And to see that carry out, he could have done anything he wanted to do, play safety, just a natural athlete, but could hit. And the thing that separates kids, and shout out to the D.C. Grays, doing a great job, Tom Lavera and company, is if you can't hit a curveball, you can't play. And I knew, as being, you know, having a lot of success as a pitcher, couldn't strike him out. To see somebody be that good his whole life is amazing. And he's going to join us today. I'm in for the Rooster, as you mentioned. Thank you for that. You usually don't even acknowledge me.
So, that's whenever I know
gonna,
I do.
It's going to be okay. Gonna have some fun with that.
Mm-hmm. So I want to get to your thoughts on Willie Mays and if you think he's the greatest you ever saw in a moment. Mm-hmm. But you were, you know, obviously a standout high school football player. You were a standout track guy. Did you get D1 offers for baseball also?
No. I hurt my arm as a sophomore. So okay. I never played again as a – you know when they say kids, don't – parents don't have your kids pitch and throw a lot of different pitches too young?
Yeah.
Yes, that probably. Yeah. You can't, like, throwing splitters, forks, drops, you know, three-quarter side, all that stuff. You can overdo it. And, again, my generation, we didn't have games. We were outside. So when you look at the amount of times you use your arm in my generation, and you were throwing bottle caps, I mean, we're playing, like, when I love hearing about Willie Mays playing stickball, going through New York, and everybody goes, wow, like that was a big, that's normal. I mean, you were playing with broomsticks.
Yeah.
You're playing with that. There was never a reason not to play. You just made up, use whatever resource you had. But the bottle cap thing, I know for a fact why guys in that era in the 60s had great vision like Gary. Because if you can hit a bottle cap, the baseball is like hitting a watermelon. I mean, come on, man. Yeah, so there was a lot of things with that. I tell my kids all the time, I wouldn't trade my childhood with them for all the money in the world.
Was Maury Wills your guy with the Dodgers?
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah.
And you know he's. I know you know this, but for those that don't, he's a DC guy. Went to Cardozo.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And his brother, shout out to him. Yeah, all the Wills family, to see him, to actually watch him and Dusty. That's why I love Dusty so much, because as a kid, these guys were, I mean, Drysdale, Peranowski, all these guys, man. These are guys you grew up with. I got, being a jackass, I ended up down in the clubhouse, told that story a million times. Church group, St. Paul Baptist took us up, and Reginald Fields and myself, we went and pushed the button, went to the elevator down, ended up in the clubhouse, missed the bus, got the worst whooping of my lifetime, and but it was worth it to spend 2 hours with Walter Alston, and Tommy Lasorda was third base coach at the time, and Koufax got a ball from him. Of course, went and played catch with it the next day. I mean, that's how ignorant. It was not like everything was not to be pebbled off at that time.
You scuffed it all up.
Oh, we played ball with it. What are you talking about? But these guys were so, they were so gentle. They didn't high side us. They embraced us. And it was just a, I don't know, well, you know, because you grew up here with the Skins when they were everything, when they were Oxygen. And so that's the kind of feeling it was out in Southern California with the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Lakers are like the Clippers.
Is Mays the best you ever saw?
Yeah. I don't know who else, who would top him. I mean, speed and power. And they gave up 2 years to fight for our country in his prime. The Gold Glove wasn't even started. So he gave four seasons away. You can chalk those four on. If it weren't for the war and the stupidity of the of our country, this dude is number one in every category.
Well, this was the Korean War that he was, you know, 2 years.
Whatever war it was, he was in and he lost 2 years. Yeah, he lost 2 years. My old man was in Vietnam. They loved him. They were all Giant fans. See, I didn't understand why the Giants. When you're young, you just don't know, but they're all Giants, so obviously you go counter them, Dodger. And so... But I didn't understand, and then watching Willie McCovey, Jimmy Ray Hart, watching all these dudes and how my uncles and everybody would rally around it, you were the only guy there with blue on. They were all in black and orange. So it really was a cultural deal that you end up understanding it. But then I learned more as they taught me about Satchel Paige and Josh Gibson, you know, Cool Papa Bell. I heard about guys, they say, dude, if you, no disrespect to Roger Maris and all these other dudes, if you, if these dudes had been allowed to play, and that's when the tragedy comes in, that they did nothing wrong other than they were African Americans. So they didn't create a crime. They didn't violate anything. So in to be denied access, or if you listen to Reggie Jackson talk about, and now you know Jackson is a pit bull. He's not meek.
No.
He's volatile. And for him to share what he shared and to get the help from the white players on that team that saved his life, he was right. He'd have been dead. But they saved his life and how he was treated and how he was. It's just inhumane.
Well, Tommy told me yesterday he thinks that now with the Negro League statistics integrated into the Major League Baseball statistics, he thinks there's a case to be made for Josh Gibson as the all-time greatest player. But he's, you know, he also acknowledges Babe Ruth is Babe Ruth, but that he would probably have Gibson ahead of Mays. But anyway.
I trust Tommy.
Yeah.
Let's just say this. And I've shared the story because you keep bringing the past up about Shaq Harris in a Pro View interview where he shared with me that he had the FBI came to warn him. They were playing the Cleveland Browns in Los Angeles at the Coliseum, that a threat was on his life. They had snipers in this Coliseum and they wanted him to take this seriously. And not only did he go play, which I would have never done, he went out and played and won the game. And the normal guys don't have to worry about that. They're worried about wind conditions. This dude's worrying about somebody blowing his brains out. And he did nothing wrong just because of his nationality. That's stupid. And guess what?
What?
So you fast forward now, and we've got some of the most atrocious things happening across the in the world. We still haven't smartened up. And that's why this is so reflective of what we're talking about now. And good for the people that at least acknowledge it now has happened. Now let's put these same efforts towards making sure it never happens again.
You're upset about J.J. Redick being hired by the Lakers?
No, I'm not upset. No. I don't. J.J., look, if you look at, go back in history, I was listening to Chick Hearn in the broadcast when our last head coach was a commentator. Pat Riley.
Well,
this is not the first time this has happened.
Yeah, right.
I don't expect everything to have a celebrity twist to it when it comes to the Lakers. This is not new. He is a smart guy. You know you coach. We don't know if you can coach until you go through a 2 or 3 game losing streak. Joe Gibbs was defined here in my mind, well, he survived 0-5. Because to me, he never changed anything. I'm just speaking for myself. Jack Ken Cook was coming out there treating him. It was really disrespectful to me. Coming out there with his dog and, you know, treating, watching the guy. And it was so demeaning.
What was the dog's name again?
I don't even remember. Yeah. But
well, you were there for
Charlie picking up the crap. And I'm like going, Joe never changed anything. You know, if you're losing, somebody expects you to abort your plan. He never increased practice time. Right. He didn't panic. He trusted what he was doing. And the guys, we trusted in him and each other. When you start going from worst to first, there's a formula for it. And the key is that you can't panic. You got to trust what you're doing. We've never been able to flip the script because we've never had a group in here that really believed what they were doing was right. They were hoping and guessing and running con scams. So we 0-5, and Joe didn't blink. Now, he later would come back and say, you know, he was concerned, but we didn't. Man, I'm telling you what, that was so comforting.
But he did change, and he changed the Chargers' kind of aerial attack to featuring the Hogs in 44.
Blood and guts. He wanted us to be that convertible, and we were an SUV, you know?
Yeah.
And so everybody wants to have the slick convertible, but wasn't us. We were an SUV, four-wheel. So he did that. And the fact that he was still so innovative, but he would punch you in the face first. See, the thing about Joe is that he was still an offensive lineman first.
Yeah.
What I always judge my offensive coordinators by was that it scares the hell out of me if all you ever played was quarterback. Because I like my guys to have been hit at the hand in the dirt.
Yeah.
See, Joe was a sinner. Joe had been overlooked, in line last. See, that's what I'm looking for. The last thing I need is another egomaniac, you know, running around. We don't have that here. This group now is divested, they're grounded.
Yeah.
What we need to do now is just get to the damn season because
let's get there. Because, you know, I think some people want to hear us talk about this year's team or hear you talk about it. So
I would ask
this question just about kind of the last couple of months. How do you handle those people who are really excited about the team because they've been hearing how good many of the players, including Jaden Daniels, have looked in OTAs and minicamp? How do you handle that when people are excited this time of year?
It's like a surgeon talking to med kids, you know, going through medical school. Let them enjoy their thrill for whatever they get out of it. I'm not there to kill anybody's excitement. I'm dealing with this at a completely different level. That's fun. Go ahead and do whatever you see good. Go for it. You and I both know this is my 14th regime. So I'm beyond that. Now, one thing age does bring you. It does bring you wisdom.
Wisdom.
It does bring you wisdom. And I'm not losing the joy. What I look for whenever, first of all, it's not football for me. It's tackle football. See, there's flag football. There's touch football. And there's tackle football. They've not played that yet. The only thing I'm interested in is tackle football. And you can't do that unless you're in full pads. And it's full contact. What I look for at this time of the year is how intelligent of the people they picked. Highly intelligent. Only thing I was looking for was how many times you got to restart the play. They never did. So they're high. They have a high football IQ, and they are highly aggressive, and they're in great physical condition. That's all I care about.
There we go.
And so if you're in top shape. And you love what you're doing. Everybody out there looked like they really love playing football. Nobody was doing us a favor by showing up. Like some of the rest of these jerks used to come out there like they were doing you a favor. And in last place. So I love the tone, and I love the path that they're on now. Now we just need to get somebody to hit. I can't wait to see this group get unleashed on another group, and then we'll know where exactly where we're going.
Great stuff. What time's Gary Templeton on?
You got to watch the whole show.
Okay.
From 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock. It could happen anytime within that window. We don't have a luxury you have.
I'm excited to hear about
crowd.
I'm excited to hear about the youth baseball days.
Yeah. We're going to break down we're going to break down the Lakers thing too with Coach McAdams.
All right, that's a good idea.
Will you come back on and talk about coaching?
Thanks for doing this. Appreciate you making the time.
Well, no, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that Cooley or whomever the stars you had.
He's in town.
Left you hanging
again. He came into town last night.
Oh,
I'll holler at you later. I got to roll.
Do that, man. Nothing but love for you.
An hour from now, love you too. An hour from now, Doc Walker in for Chris Russell. Ben Standing will join us next.
Out there with his dog and, you know, watching the guy. And it was so demeaning.
What was the dog's name again?
I don't even remember. Yeah. But
You were there for
Charlie picking up the crap. And I'm like going, Joe never changed anything. You know, if you're losing, somebody expects you to abort your plan. He never increased practice time. Right. He didn't panic. He trusted what he was doing. And the guys, we trusted in him and each other. When you start going from worst to first, there's a formula for it. And the key is that you can't panic. You got to trust what you're doing. We've never been able to flip the script because we've never had a group in here that really believed what they were doing was right. They were hoping and guessing and running con scams. So we 0-5, and Joe didn't blink. Now, he later would come back and say, you know, he was concerned, but we didn't. Man, I'm telling you what, that was so comforting.
But he did change, and he changed the Chargers kind of aerial attack to featuring the Hogs in 44.
Blood and guts. He wanted us to be that convertible. And we were an SUV, you know?
Yeah.
And so everybody wants to have the slick convertible, but wasn't us. We were an SUV, four-wheel. So he did that. And the fact that he was still so innovative, but he would punch you in the face first. See, the thing about Joe is that he was still an offensive lineman first.
Yeah.
What I always judge my offensive coordinators by was that it scares the hell out of me if all you ever played was quarterback. Because I like my guys to have been hit at the hand in the dirt.
Yeah.
See, Joe was a sinner. Joe had been overlooked, in line last. See, that's what I'm looking for. The last thing I need is another egomaniac, you know, running around. We don't have that here. This group now is divested, they're grounded.
Yeah.
What we need to do now is just get to the damn season because let's take care of itself.
Because you know I think some people want to hear us talk about this year's team or hear you talk about it. So
I would ask
this question just about kind of the last couple of months. Yeah. How do you handle those people who are really excited about the team because they've been hearing how good many of the players, including Jaden Daniels, have looked in OTAs and minicamp? How do you handle that when people are excited this time of year?
It's like a surgeon talking to med kids, you know, going through medical school. Let them enjoy their thrill for whatever they get out of it. I'm not there to kill anybody's excitement. I'm dealing with this at a completely different level. That's fun. Go ahead and do whatever you see good. Go for it. You and I both know this is my 14th regime. So I'm beyond that. Now, one thing age does bring you. It does bring you wisdom.
Wisdom.
It does bring you wisdom. And I'm not losing the joy. What I look for whenever, first of all, it's not football for me. It's tackle football. See, there's flag football. There's touch football. And there's tackle football. They've not played that yet. The only thing I'm interested in is tackle football. And you can't do that unless you're in full pads and it's full contact. What I look for at this time of the year is how intelligent of the people they picked. Highly intelligent. Only thing I was looking for was how many times you got to restart the play. They never did. So they're high. They have a high football IQ, and they are highly aggressive, and they're in great physical condition. That's all I care about.
There we go.
And so if you're in top shape and you love what you're doing, everybody out there looked like they really love playing football. Nobody was doing us a favor by showing up like some of the rest of these jerks used to come out there like they were doing you a favor. And in last place. So I love the tone, and I love the path that they're on now. Now we just need to get somebody to hit. I can't wait to see this group get unleashed on another group, and then we'll know where exactly where we're going.
Great stuff. What time's Gary Templeton on?
You got to watch the whole show.
Okay.
From 1 o'clock until 4 o'clock. It could happen anytime within that window. We don't have a luxury you have.
I'm excited to hear about.
Crowd.
I'm excited to hear about the youth baseball days.
Yeah. We're going to break down. Right. We're going to break down the Lakers thing too with Coach McAdams.
All right, that's a good idea.
Will you come back on and talk about coaching?
Thanks for doing this. Appreciate you.
Well,
making
no,
the time
I'm sorry. Me. I'm sorry that Cooley or whomever you the stars you had.
He's in town.
Left you hanging.
He
again.
Came into town last night.
Oh,
I'll holler
best.
At you later. I got to roll.
Do that, man. Nothing but love for you.
An hour from now, love you too. An hour from now, Doc Walker in for Chris Russell. Ben Standing will join us next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to LinkedIn.com/results to claim your credit. That's LinkedIn.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.